That's Psalm 5, page 544, a Psalm of David. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil peoples are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful you, Lord, detest. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down towards your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they tell lies. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favour as with a shield.
Thank you, Bex. Do keep it open, and let me pray as we begin. Loving Father, we thank you very much for your word, and we thank you that in the Psalms we have your songbook. You give us words to sing, to pray, to say, when perhaps we wouldn't know the words. Thank you that these words help us pray when perhaps we've only got sighs and groans. And so we pray that as we sit under your voice now, you'd help us to depend on you more, not just to hear your voice, but to come to you, to a loving Lord who knows us, longs to us to depend upon you more and more. And so we pray you'd help us to do that through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I bumped into one of these Storybox mums just a couple of weeks ago on the Broadway outside Gail's Bakery. I asked how her husband was doing. I hadn't seen him for a little while. She said, oh, he's away fishing with a sort of lad's weekend, fishing, fly fishing in Wales. Had a terrific fun, a little bit jealous. And if you know anything about fly fishing, you need sort of the patience of a saint to stand there with live bait and you just sort of basically just have a lovely time standing in a river. And that's certainly what he was facing, because when she was telling me all about it and the uni friends he was with, she says, actually in our house, we call it ethical fishing. So I said, oh gosh, crumbs, has he put all of them back? And she laughed and said, no, he's never ever caught a single fish. But he has a lovely time. But of course, as he stands there with those trout swimming past his waders, trying to get upstream, maybe there's something of a picture of a trout swimming against the tide that describes the Christian believer that Psalm 5 is picking up on. When following Jesus day to day means you're going against the flow. You're swimming upstream. So for our explorers, maybe you're the only Christians in your class at school. And there are hundreds of children in school. And you are very much swimming against the stream. Maybe in our offices, our staff rooms, our sports clubs. Maybe you're the only parent at the school gates that you know of who's trying to raise Christian children. Or maybe there's a few of you, and you feel drowned out by a strong liberal agenda on the Board of Governors. And so many of us will feel quite like the trout swimming upstream. And a bit like David here in this psalm, the sort of opposition we'll face against the tide, well, it's those tongues, those throats, those sarcastic comments, throwaway lines of a bit of suspicion that you would be a Christian in this day and age. My goodness, do you still believe in the tooth fairy as well? That sort of thing. How do we keep going when the river of our culture is pushing back? Well, Psalm 5 is the cry of a believer in a hostile world. And time and again, King David, its writer, refers to just the sort of opposition you and I face, the opposition of words. And so there we see, don't we, in verse 6, he speaks about those who tell lies and practice deceit. Verse 9, not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they tell lies. We all know, I'm sure, from painful experience, the power of a misused tongue. Slander, lies, deceit can be devastating. We can all take a knock or a bruise. We heal. And yet, goodness me, our tongues, a very, very small muscle in our mouths, could destroy someone's character and self-confidence for years with just a line. Our throats, our tongues can deliver words that build up or tear down. And it's these deceitful words that are hurting King David here in Psalm 5. But rather than return his words back in inflicting pain, he turns them back to the Lord in prayer. And so there's something in this psalm that teaches you and I how to pray when we face opposition, when we're being slandered, lied about. But above all, this is a psalm that teaches us about the character of the God we pray to and why coming before him is such a good thing to do together. Firstly, you'll see where we're going on your sheets. The Lord, he hears our prayers. That's why David prays. The Lord hears our prayers. He's under enormous pressure, David, and yet prays to God confidently. He knows God will hear him. Look at verse 3. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. So in verse 1, he's already asked, God, listen to my words. He longs to pray, for he knows the Lord hears what he says. But notice also he's coming with a heart full of pain. He also wants God to consider his lament. And that word lament in the original, it speaks more of a groan or a sigh. Other translations say, consider my sighs. When is it that we groan and sigh? It's when we've got no words left, isn't it? All we can utter is, oh. Romans 8 assures us that when we do not know what to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And so David asks, verse 2, God, hear my cry for help. I've only got groans and sighs. Help. He cries out to his king, his God, verse 3, his Lord, because he knows that who he's praying to hears. Whether it's words or sighs or cries. And so he comes to God broken and desperate, but very confident in the one he's praying to.